Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigreed durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at RivieraAgSeeds.ca. This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, a podcast dedicated to growing the sport of football in Saskatchewan. Now, here's Ballsy.
Well, the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, Randy Ambrosi, rolled through Regina recently on his Randy's road trip across the CFL, and I had a chance to catch up with him along with Luke Mulliner on the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. We talked a lot about Canadians and the state of football in Canada and how he wants to grow the game, not only at the professional level, but the amateur level here in this country. And here's our interview with Randy Ambrosi. Randy's road trip is ongoing. He was at Mosaic Stadium yesterday. Now, Randy, before we go any further, the Academy Awards yesterday, your three top sports movies of all time.
My three top sports movies. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, I would say Angels in the Outfield.
Okay. I
liked Angels in the Outfield. What's the Kevin Costner movie?
Tin Cup?
No.
Field of Dreams?
Field of Dreams. Okay. Like, I love Field of Dreams.
Oh, wow. See, that didn't resonate with us.
Yeah, no, I love Field of Dreams. And then I guess Kevin Costner, again, the baseball one. Oh, my gosh. He's playing minor league baseball.
Oh, Bull Durham.
Bull Durham.
He's a Costner guy.
I am.
He's a Costner
guy. So you got three movies, and none of them are football.
No.
Yeah, but because I got football everywhere else, okay? You have to find some variety in your life somewhere. Yeah, my wife says, dude, seriously, have a little variety.
So if you're a Costner guy, though, what's your opinion on Waterworld?
I've never seen it.
Oh.
Robin Hood.
Never seen that one.
Tin Cup.
Never seen that.
Really?
Yeah.
He's just sitting here like, what? I did not come in here to talk about movies.
Not Siskel or Ebert.
Yeah. No, you started off with Brewhouse, and I got totally distracted at that point, okay?
Randy Ambrosi joining us. Okay, so how did you find your day yesterday with Rider fans and our friend, your Luke Mulliner, at the Harvard 620 studio?
Yeah, you know, it's always great. I mean, Luke, first of all, thank you. You did a great job. But I'd say, look, it's always great to get some face time with the fans, and this is a perfect time of year to do that. You know, we got a chance to ask questions about things like a playoff schedule for the semifinals and divisional finals. And we got some good feedback on that. We got to talk about, command challenges. Hmm. I think it helps us to keep talking about football all year long. But B, I can go into league meetings in a month or two and bring a different perspective, one that really speaks to what our fans think. That's always going to help a business. In everything I've done in my mm-hmm. business career, it's always good if you can really talk about your clients, your customers, and in this case, your fans. So I really enjoyed it, and I thought it's hard to beat being here in Ryderville. Yeah. And in that beautiful setting.
You know what? I like your progressive thinking, and I like your accessibility. I don't think we'd see Roger Goodell doing this. I really like your accessibility. Yeah. I wanted to ask you this. How just put into perspective how the Riders bid impressed you enough and impressed the movers and shakers to give our province and fair city the Grey Cup in 2020.
Yeah, so what really started that process was a real challenge to the bidders that they had to raise the bar. Like the old model of here's your Grey Cup and do with it what you will over. Hey, listen, we're going to get bids in and you got to really find a way to raise the bar. So Saskatchewan's bid hit a grand slam. We'll go back to baseball theme. They hit a grand slam home run because immediately they had their big idea. So we said, we want a big idea. Theirs was, okay, we're going to basically turn the entire Mosaic compound into one gigantic Grey Cup festival. It's never been done before, where literally the entirety of Grey Cup is in one place. You get dropped off with, you know, bus, car, maybe an Uber by that point.
Right.
And you can spend your entire Grey Cup at that one location. That has never been done. And to listen to them present that idea was so powerful, and they really made it work. They made the idea work. Look, frankly, the bid could have been bidding on anything. Olympics. I think they would have won because the bid was that professional. It was a world class bid, and you could watch those that had a vote in the room, and I wasn't. I did not have a vote. I was just watching those that had one. You could just tell. They were checking all the boxes all the way through. It was that good.
Randy Ambrosi, the outstanding commissioner of the Canadian Football League, joining us here. But I think it's nice. I think it was a great touch that you also announced Bob Young and the Hamilton Tiger Cats, because caretaker Bob, as we like to call him, has done a lot for this league. You know, he's been a good foot soldier, as we like to say.
He has been. And actually, the Grey Cup committee had come back to us with a recommendation that we go to a 3-year bidding cycle. Why? Because they want to give the teams more time to do their planning. And I went to Bob and I asked, we had a conversation about, hey, would you consider 21? And Bob said, yeah, we'll consider 20 and 21. And you know what, to their infinite credit, them opening up 21, Montreal took Montreal out because Montreal is going to have renovations at the Big O. And then it was perfect. And I'll tell you, their bid was super cool. And there are some things in their bid that are going to be really, really fun. So we ended up getting Saskatchewan, hey, home run 2020 bid. Mm. And then we get this amazing bid from Bob and Scott Mitchell and that team. And we just left this with nothing but smiles.
Any concern about having 3 Grey Cups in a row out west?
Well, you know, really, I think it's more about having great, great cups. Like, from this point going forward, the best thing we can do is the fans have got to just keep, they leave the last Grey Cup, like I think we did in Edmonton, what they had done in Ottawa, and immediately they're booking themselves to wherever the next one is. That's the culture we're trying to build. And they're going to drag their friend along who's never been before. They're going to bring, you know, they're going to bring people to join the CFL family. I think it doesn't matter where, it just matters what we deliver. That was the more important message.
When you've gone on, you started out in Calgary, correct? As Randy's wrote. Yep. So yesterday you gave a fantastic 20-minute sort of dissertation on some slides. Obviously, you don't have those slides here. If there was one point that you really wanted to nail home, for those people who weren't there, what was it?
Well, I think it's hard to say there's one point. Look, ultimately, what we can tell you, what I'd like our fans to know, is when you look at the world of sports, big international sports are knocking it out of the park. The big international sports, the NBA, you look at baseball, you look at what's happened in the Premier League of soccer, big international sports. Why should we take a back seat to any of them? In fact, if you look at the Premier League, which was essentially going back to the English Football League, it was basically the CFL for soccer in England, and they transitioned into an international soccer league, and they have literally, they've grown exponentially. Why should the CFL want anything else? So that's the big fundamental message. And why is that important to our fans? Because you know what? If we are growing, if we're bringing in new revenue streams, it's going to make us more competitive for players. It's going to allow us to make sure we can pay our coaches well, our players well, and all of our stakeholders will win.
Randy Ambrosi, the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, joining us in studio. Wherever you're listening today, thanks for making us part of your day.
You did the slide presentation. One of the slides that you had on there was it showed the increase in interest globally in the NBA. And as all bar charts do, it shows an increase. But from 2015 to 2018, the NBA interest skyrocketed. In your opinion, why was that? And how do you harness that and apply it to the Canadian Football League game?
Yeah, I think, Luke, it's a great question. What they did is they laid the foundation stones. They did the work. So they had a long-term vision for how they would grow the NBA. And they introduced something called Teambo, a team services business. How does the league office serve the teams and help the teams be more successful? But they laid the cornerstones for an international league. Do you know that 98% of NBA fans will never see a game live? 98% will never see a game live. They laid the foundation stones for an international NBA, and now they're harvesting the benefits of the work they did to make it happen. That's really the story. And we've spent a lot of time with the NBA. I have no problem copying other successful people. Yep. In fact, yep. Emulating really successful leagues is a great thing. So we've been talking with the NHL, talking with the NBA, talking with the NFL. And, you know, all we're going to do now is take the best of what all of them have done, add a little CFL magic to it, and set the stage for a much bigger, stronger CFL.
You mentioned about the NBA. I'm reading a book called The Big Game. Mark Leibovich, a Washington political writer, followed the NFL for a year. Do you realize only 7% of NFL fans have seen a game live? And it's getting harder and harder with 80-inch TVs, and you got your own food and your own bathrooms and all that type of stuff. How do you get them to come to the stadium? I know you've done a pretty good job. You're getting a younger demo to come, but how do you get them to come to the stadium? Because this has always been a gate-driven league.
Yeah, it is. And some of the lessons we're learning, there are some tremendous successes in our league. You look at what Ottawa's done with the biggest bar rail in Canada. Now, what's weird about it is when you look at your TV, you may not see them sitting in the seats. You know why? Because they're all in the end zone, basically in the biggest nightclub in Ottawa. If you look at Winnipeg, the Rum Hut, Winnipeg is actually looking at a model, going to a model this year. We're going to sell a pass. The pass just basically lets you in, but doesn't give you a seat. They're doing that to attract a young demographic. Mm-hmm. Look, you've got the Pill Zone here, which is amazing. We have to find a way to attract that new audience into our stadiums. And part of it is doing it differently. You were, before the show, you were talking about lacrosse.
And one of the cool things they did, Randy, I don't know if there's a way to do this, but I know you guys do this with Craig Reynolds and Wayne Morski and stuff. They bring people on the field before the game, okay? They move people from the highest part of the stadium down to the penalty box, and they sit and watch the game from the penalty box. There's no penalty box in football, but is there can you make it more interactive? Can there be pregame speeches that will be mic'd up in the stadium that they won't get on TV, that they'll only get if they come to the stadium? There's got to be something that you only get at the stadium.
Well, I've often thought of putting Wayne Morski in the penalty box, but that's a whole totally different thing,
yeah.
And we can get to that. But no, you're right. It's all about the innovations. But, you know, one of the things that a new business like lacrosse, they don't have any tradition. Their fans aren't used to an old paradigm.
Right.
So they're able to do things that are a little more innovative. But you know what? We have to be prepared to break down some barriers and challenge our diehard fans to help us think about this next generation of fans and do some super cool things. We introduced a premium product at Grey Cup this year, first time ever, and it was wildly successful. And we had people that bought these premium experiences that said after they had been to Super Bowls with a premium experience, they had been to, you know, met the Masters, they said there was nothing better ever in their entire life that was better than going to a Grey Cup as a premium client. They got, you know, they got exposure. Like as I said, how often you go to the NFL, yeah, you're in this premium program and you maybe shake hands with Terry Bradshaw. They said they met Mike Pimdall. Mike hugged them all.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's what our league is super good at. We are folksy.
We're joined in studio here by the commissioner, Randy Ambrosi. He's Luke Mulder. I'm Ballsy. Okay, so I saw an interesting quote from you in terms of now this league has gone international to 9 leagues. How do you see that helping Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver, kind of the trouble spot attendance-wise here?
You know, the answer is that those are big international cities, and how cool it'd be for fans who have maybe not don't have a long history with their league, but they see a player. So Canadians, by about 55% of Canadians have an ethnic heritage going back to most of the countries we're talking to. So do you think we have an interesting chance of getting somebody to come out if your heritage is from Germany,
yeah,
and a kid from Germany is playing in our league, or your heritage is from Finland or from Norway or from Sweden or from Denmark, and a kid from Norway, Sweden, Finland or Denmark is playing in our league? You know, we're hoping this is a way of re-energizing interest in our league, and partly that we spent time all winter announcing this coalition of the willing, all these countries that want. The idea is we've got to make our league bigger. Torontonians and people in Vancouver, they want big things. So we're making our league big. We want to sit at the epicenter of the international football playing world. And by playing that role, we elevate ourselves from a small national game to a much bigger international game. And we think that that's going to appeal to fans in those markets.
Now, with any good thing, whether it's business, a relationship, a marriage, a house, you got to have a solid foundation, right? And you're a Canadian, and I like that about you. You played this game for 9 years. I like your mentality that you're looking for places for kids to play that might not have a chance to play, you know, and further their career. But what about Canadians? Because I've coached at the lower level. I feel like we don't have as many kids playing football as we used to. I feel like part of that has to do with, you know, I look at it. If a kid played goalie his whole life and he was a great goalie and if the coach came up to him and said, you know, I know you're great, but get this. After university, you can't play goalie anymore because you're just not, sorry, your career's done. The kid's probably not going to be a goalie. He'll want to go be a forward so he has a chance to play professional football. You know where I'm going with this? To me, it's ridiculous that a Canadian at quarterback isn't designated a Canadian. So how do you see it going forward with, if we have an Italian player or a German player, how are you going to implement them in terms of what are they going to be called and how is that going to affect the ratio? And do you have a dedication to the Canadians that are trying to aspire in this sport?
Well, I have a massive dedication to the Canadians, but I would say I have to define that in its fullest way. Number one is there's going to be a lot of kids that play junior football and university football that are never going to make it to the CFL. And what I've always thought is a tragedy is that those kids, my brother and I were teammates at the University of Manitoba. My brother loved football as much as I did, if not maybe more. Now, he didn't get a chance to make it in the CFL, but he didn't stop loving football. And right. I want to create hundreds of opportunities for Canadian kids to continue to play football after university by going out into the world. They go play in Mexico for 2 years, go play in Germany or in France or Sweden or Denmark or Italy. I mean, it's a chance to give kids to do what kids will naturally want to do. If you love something, they want to keep doing it. So we have to stop thinking narrowly about the opportunity for Canadians being only in the Canadian Football League. Look, lots of Canadian kids play hockey and don't get to play in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Many of them go play in the American League. Many of them go play hockey in Europe after. Why? Because they didn't stop loving hockey. I think create more opportunities for kids to play is a way of helping us solve the problem that fewer kids are playing. I think part of it is, hey, if I want to be an athlete and there's a small opportunity, maybe I'm less interested. But if I love that game and I see a big opportunity to play, lots of places that I might end up playing. And this is the experiential generation.
Yeah.
Having a kid say, listen, I just finished my college career. I'm going to go play in Italy for two seasons. John Grisham's book, Playing for Pizza. I mean, what a cool experience. Half those kids are going to Europe after college anyway.
Yeah.
This way they can go and play football. So my answer is,
yeah,
we've got to stop thinking narrowly about Canadians playing football. We have to start thinking broadly. And that's why our relationship with U Sports and junior football will be so important in the days to come. And it's why you saw the U Sports community support so strongly what we're trying to do with 2.0.
And I'm totally behind you, Randy. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I'm totally behind that. I guess where I'm going with in the last aspect of my question, sorry for it being muddled, is Brandon Bridge, now in Toronto, Noah Pickton from here, now in Toronto. If they make the Argonauts, if they're on the team, should they not be designated a Canadian? Should they not
That's their birth certificate. I'm not saying every team has to have a Canadian at that position, but if he's the Canadian, should he not? Should that team not get a benefit of having a Canadian on the roster?
Yeah, that was an issue that was negotiated in the last CBA, and I wasn't here.
Yeah, no,
I don't exactly know what the dynamics were, but I know that issue will be on the table when we
sit down with the players in a few weeks' time. And of course, we should talk about it. It's one of those things where, you know, it's the expression, it's surprisingly how uncommon common sense is.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that it seems like it would be common sense that if you're a Canadian, you would be designated a Canadian when you play. But of course, it'll be back on the table and we'll talk to the players about it and it'll be part of the overall conversation.
When you went into talking about, you know, how our young players get, you know, can take advantage of 2.0 and its international feel. You know, we talked about coaching. And, you know, in this building, we're high on, you know, having coaches with outstanding resumes. And we felt that, hey, like, the coaching wasn't any better than it's ever been last year. Last year, we had some amazing coaches in the building. But when I asked you that, you had a really good point about how we can help shape young coaches and potential coaches in the CFL using this international model.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'm excited because I think that one of the things that I learned is that our U Sports coaches know more about the international game. Mm-hmm. And many of them, like Greg Marshall from Western's, coached Canada's international team, our Canadian team in international competition. They've got these networks. I think that what would be cool as a value proposition is you're recruiting a coach and you say, okay, look, you get to, you know, you're coaching in Saskatchewan, you know, in 19, 20, 21. And in the off season, we have an affiliation with 8 teams around the world. Pick a country and go spend a few weeks with them doing coaching development. Well, how cool is that? First of all, I don't know if you noticed, it was minus 30 something outside this morning in Regina. What if one of the coaches and the riders next year is offered an opportunity to do 3 weeks in Acapulco doing a coaching clinic? How cool is that if we can? Because you know what we're hearing from these countries, they want to be exposed to our coaches. They know that we have world-class. Luke, I love your point. They know we have world-class coaches in the Canadian Football League, and they want exposure to them. They're asking if they could potentially get invitations to come to our training camps. They're asking if our coaches would come there and do coaching clinics. This is going to open up a world of opportunity, just going to make it more interesting to be a coach in the Canadian Football League. I want to get our university coaches involved in this as well, because I think it'll expose them to the international game. And you know what it's going to do? It's just going to make all of our coaches stronger, and it's going to make our league more interesting.
Okay, my last question. 2011, the greatest Vanier Cup ever played was played at the site of the Grey Cup. BC Winnipeg played the day after. It was McMaster and Laval. That was a great game. Went into overtime. And I think they had 25,000 that day. Then the announced crowd the next year in Toronto for the 2012 game was 37,000. And then the Vanier Cup went this way and the Grey Cup went that way. And a lot of it had to do with U Sport. They wanted to be their own showcase. Is there some way we can get back to Vanier Cup on the same weekend as the Grey Cup? Like, 2020, it would be unbelievable to see. I'm just spitballing here. Yeah. See the Rams or the Huskies playing in the Vanier Cup on the site of the Grey Cup.
Yeah, so you're actually not spitballing too far off the mark, because this is the conversation we've been having with Graham Brown and U Sports. We've been talking about how we come together. Look, if you look again at the analysis of all the strongest pro sports in the world, they have a correspondingly very strong amateur football system. And we can never reach the full potential of the Canadian Football League until we reach the full potential of U Sports. And Graham and I and all of the U Sports community are talking about realigning Grey Cup and the Vanier Cup, because we know that's a winning formula. So I think you are spot on. Mm-hmm. It's something that we really need to focus on and make sure that we're working together to help strengthen our university sports. The cascading effect of that is going to be, it's going to have a positive effect on amateur football in this country. And that's something that we absolutely have to be dedicated to.
Randy, we talk a lot about athletes professionally and what they bring to the real world after football, after their football career. when you look at your resume prior to being in the CFL, your business acumen was outstanding. It was one of the things that attracted the Board of Governors, you know, and to you being the commissioner. So my question to you is, you know, what in business have you brought with you as the commissioner that you felt, what is a characteristic that you're going to apply that's going to make you successful as a commissioner?
Well, boy, Luke, that's a great question. I'm not sure I have a concise answer. I'd say this: one of the things that you know, I've learned how to collaborate. You know, you've learned how to bring ideas. I have some strategies that I use that have been affected. You know, for tell people what you're going to tell them before you tell them, and then tell them, and then tell them what you told them. And if you gave me an hour, I'd explain the whole strategy. But it's sharing ideas with people, getting them interested in those ideas before it's a decision, then bringing the idea with more substance, building momentum. I've been working with this Board of Governors. I'll tell you, they are remarkable. They want so badly for this league to get to the next level and the next level and the next level. And what you have to do is you have to bring the ideas to the table. I'm amazed at how fast they're super smart. They digest information incredibly well. So what you have to do is throw a lot at them because they're ready for it. But the last thing is they want somebody that is acting like a true CEO, and that is you have to have business discipline. So they want me to pay attention to the details. And one thing I learned every step of the way, nobody trusts a CEO that doesn't care about the numbers. Nobody in the entire world of business. If the CEO doesn't know the numbers, they don't trust them. I've spent a lot of my time paying attention to the numbers and making sure that I have strategies to help our business be better as we work on the game of football.
Well, the next business for this guy will be the CBA. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule. We appreciate doing the face-to-face chat with you.
Love to do this anytime. Thanks,
absolutely.
Guys.
Randy Ambrosi, very accessible and forward-thinking commissioner of the Canadian Football League.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigree, durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at rivièreagseeds.ca. That was another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a story idea you'd like Michael Ball to pursue, please email him at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.